When I traveled recently to Côte d'Ivoire in Africa's West, it was in my usual role, shooting photos for Monitor Stories. This time, the work was in support of my colleague, Colette Davidson. But the assignment, like most, also offered room for me to search for image-driven stories of my own. I asked our translator, Albin, for ideas. At first, he didn't understand what I was going for. Then, talk turned to food. He told me he knew a woman who runs a small collective that makes acheke, the national dish. Soon, we were in a hidden alley where women were peeling, drying, sifting, and cooking cassava, a starchy root. I'd found my quarry, a richly visual story that took us, and today takes you, behind the curtain to meet some of the 300,000 women in Côte d'Ivoire who make acheke by hand. Back in 2023, I spoke with Why We Wrote This podcast host, Clay Collins, about how I've approached monitor photography over the past four decades. Here's a brief excerpt on working with both writers and subjects. Find a link to the full episode at csmonitor.com/daily. We do discuss the story ahead of time. Often it's the writer who's the lead, so I'm trying to visually tell their story. So sometimes I'll take photos while the writer is doing an interview because someone's telling a story, they can get very emotional rather than just standing in front of me with my camera. So that sometimes can get some very nice portraits. But then I sometimes have to ask for more time at the end because I'll want a different background. And it's a balancing act because we sometimes don't need the same things. But a lot of the writers that I work with understand it'll add to their story.
Besides your interfacing with the writer you're working with, you're obviously interfacing with people, with civilians, if you will. Your work means being conscious of the specific context in which you're depicting someone because that can color perceptions. And you need to know when not to shoot and about how to handle shots of identifiable children, that sort of thing.
Right. It's really important to know when not to shoot. It's especially difficult for a writer or a photographer to walk up to somebody cold on the street who doesn't know you're going to be asking them a question for a journalistic reason. So I often just let the writer start and ask their questions. And sometimes I can kind of get a feel if somebody's going to be okay having their photo taken. So I'll slowly lift the camera. And if they duck or put their hands in front of their eyes, I know, okay, they don't want their photo taken. But I don't want to scare people off before the writer gets what they need.
It's Friday, June 5th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Melanie Stetson Freeman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Israel and Lebanon agreed to extend a ceasefire. The U.S. brokered deal requires a complete cessation of Hezbollah fire against Israel, though Hezbollah is not a party to the deal and has rejected it. The agreement requires no curbing of actions by Israel, though reports say President Donald Trump told Israel to limit its attacks in Lebanon. Israel continues daily airstrikes and has expanded a military advance into southern Lebanon, including the demolition of border towns. The deal will help satisfy a demand by Iran to include a Lebanon truce and Israeli withdrawal as part of any deal with the United States to end the war against Iran. John Bolton is expected to plead guilty to mishandling classified documents. In October, the Justice Department charged Mr. Bolton, a former national security advisor to Mr. Trump, who later became a vocal critic of the president, with 18 counts of allegedly mishandling classified information. He plans to plead guilty to one count of illegally retaining classified information and pay a fine, according to news reports, potentially avoiding decades in prison had he lost a trial. The deal requires approval from a judge. Also, President Trump announced a $700 million investment in coal-fired power plants. By invoking a law from 1950 that grants the president broad authority to influence domestic industries in the name of national defense, Mr. Trump will distribute the investment across more than a dozen existing plants, a new coal exporting terminal in California, and to build new power plants in Alaska and West Virginia. The Trump administration's commitment to reviving the coal industry has included emergency orders to keep dozens of plants open past their planned retirements and opening millions of acres of federal lands to coal mining. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The Trump family's wealth has surged over the 19 months since Donald Trump's election. The circumstances are revealing how, on personal finance matters, a president might be constrained less by laws than by norms that are vulnerable to testing. Linda Feldman reports from Washington for The Monitor. Israel is entering election season, and the leading opposition politicians are trying to undercut the incumbent, Benjamin Netanyahu, on security issues. The prime minister has lost some supporters, but he's always been a political survivor. Contributors Dina Kraft and Shoshana Solomon report from Washington and Tel Aviv for The Monitor. The Chilean children's show has gained an international following, but Mexico is home to some of the most ardent fans of its satirical humor. Contributor Andalusia Saloff reports from Mexico City for The Monitor. Clover Food Lab was a homegrown vegetarian eatery that grew on its ever-changing seasonal offerings in the Boston area. The pandemic, rising food costs, and other factors pushed it to close its doors, but that turned out to not be the end of the story. Kendra Nordine Beato reports from Boston for The Monitor. In 2024, UNESCO recognized the skill in making acheque, a fermented cassava dish, as Côte d'Ivoire's intangible cultural heritage. And though industrial production of acheque exists on a small scale here, the artisanal way of transforming cassava does not appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. Colette Davidson and I report from Anono, Côte d'Ivoire, for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on A Gift for Ukraine's Future in Europe. Like a family, the European Union has had a fair share of black sheep among its members. Britain left the Union. Poland long thumbed its nose at EU standards for the rule of law. Greece lied about its deficit and almost sank the bloc's economy. On Wednesday, Hungary, after years of being on the outs with the EU, returned to the fold like a prodigal son. A new prime minister of the Central European Union, Peter Magyar, strongly signaled that he would permit Ukraine to start formal talks to join the EU. He said Kyiv had agreed to a new cultural, educational, and political protections for tens of thousands of ethnic Hungarians living in Ukraine's western Zakarpattia region. Ukraine's talks with the EU are now slated to begin in mid-June, more than 4 years after it applied to be an official candidate following the 2022 Russian invasion. Mr. Magyar's tentative support of Ukraine's membership reverses a veto on such negotiations by his predecessor, Viktor Orban. That longtime authoritarian leader had used the issue of the minority Hungarians to stall Kyiv's bid. His party lost big in an April election as Hungarians shifted back toward European values. Along with its recent battlefield successes, Ukraine might now gain a stronger political shield against Russian aggression. Hungary's decision brings us closer to our joint European future, said Taras Kachka, Ukraine's deputy prime minister for European integration, according to Euronews. During his election campaign, Mr. Madjar said that European leaders had viewed Hungary as an unnecessary troublemaker, more aligned with Moscow than with Brussels. Next week, he plans to meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The two leaders will have one common interest, embracing the EU's hope that the continent does not once again allow ethnic differences to start wars. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we realize that the supply of our needs is not finite, but that divine love cares for us abundantly, we find what we need tangibly present. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.